Okay, so here we are. And we're holding in Perek Hey of Shara Tshuva. And last week we discussed at length the idea that it's not worthwhile squandering our pleasure quota on the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, because all the pleasures of this world are tainted with pain and a high price. Whereas if we wait for the next world, the pleasures are pure and they're priceless. And so they're far more beautiful, desirable, and free of any side effects. And he brings Pesukim to prove the point. The second thought to keep in mind all the time, which arouses us to tshuva and not pursue Olam Hazeh, is the idea that we should remember that the day of death is getting closer every day and every minute. So we're just about to die. So get ready. We don't have all the time in the world. So President Bush was warning Saddam it's going to happen. And, you know, he didn't think it's going to happen. It happened. There's an attack. And there's destruction. It happens. It does happen. There's only so long you wait. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam only waits so long. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that the Talmid of Reb Lazar asked them what they should do to do tshuva. So he said, Shuv yamecha lefnei misascha. He told the Talmidim, return, repent the day before you die. So they said, Rebbe, but no one knows when they're going to die. And his response was, Adarabba. So do tshuva every day, because you might die tomorrow. And not just tomorrow, you might die at 9 o'clock, you might die at 10 o'clock. You might even die at 9:30. Actually, it's only 5 to 9. We might die at 9 o'clock. So that was his incentive. So the famous question is asked, it sounds a little bit, how should we say, maybe even childish, to say that the reason we should repent, because you might just drop dead any second. So the Vort, I'm sure I must have told you the Vort already from my Rebbe's Rebbe, Reb Gifter, Zechonah Brava's Rebbe, Reb Motl Pragamansky. Reb Motl Pragamansky gave his famous mashal. You know, people travel from far and wide to Carlsbad. Carlsbad, the famous spa. They go to drink the waters, to take the waters in Carlsbad. So people travel from over Europe, the whole world, to these spas, because they have these effervescent mineral waters, which allegedly do a lot of good things for your body. Great. Question is, he says, you know, today, his times in the 1930s, they already were bottling the Carlsbad water, and they were exporting it all over Europe, all over the world. So why are people still schlepping to Carlsbad to take the waters? We have to pay a fortune for a hotel in the season, as a whole tircha, it's a long trip. You have to pay car fare. You have to pay for the hotel. You have to compete with people to get online. Just go to your local 7-Eleven and pick yourself up a case of Carlsbad, and you're fine. What's left in the Carlsbad? The answer is that there's one difference, that the water at the source is always stronger, fresher, and more potent. When you go to the source, there is a difference. And the further the water is from its source, and the longer it stays in the bottle, the weaker it gets. So if you want to get the best, you go to the source. Same thing he said like this. Tshuva is not the pshat. When Rabbi Lazar, this is his word, when Rabbi Lazar said to his Talmidim, repent today because you might die tomorrow, that wasn't an idle threat. It wasn't, he was threatening them. You know, you're going to drop dead any second. Chaparai. It wasn't because he just wanted to give him an incentive, because there are time limitations. He's saying that the warranty is running out. He's saying, since a man is mortal, and you see how weak man is, and you see how temporary our existence is, you see how tenuous our grip on life is, so we see that life is really not ours, and life is actually a gift over which we have absolutely no control. So how then can one not be humbled to repent when we realize that the life that we are squandering and wasting and destroying and then contaminating with our evil deeds is not our own? Since, you see, you might die any next second, it shows that life is not ours. And life is just a temporary trial and a challenge. It's a gift, it's an opportunity. So how can you not repent? What was this temporary challenge given to us for, if not to repent and return to the Rabbeinu Shlom? And the whole idea of life is that Hashem, like the Gemara talks in Shabbos, is like the king who lent out beautifully laundered royal garments to his servants. And he said, get ready, I might call you back to the palace for service anytime. So make sure to keep the garments clean. So the fools didn't take him seriously. They figured we'll have a good time. We'll show over the garments and we'll use them and abuse them and filthy them as we wish. We got plenty of time. And the wise ones kept on maintaining the garments and even sewing them and fixing them and embellishing them to make it even better. So that when you have to go back to the king, the garments will be perfectly intact, if not improved. And the end talk of the king suddenly calls everyone back, and the fools are caught literally with their pants down, and the wise men have their beautiful costumes, their uniforms ready. So Hashem just sent us in this world in a flesh uniform so that we should return it better, improved. So since we know that Hashem can call us back any time, that itself reminds us and proves to us that our lives don't belong to us, and we're not here for our own pursuits and pleasure, we're not here for our own agenda. So therefore we should daven the Rabbeinu Shlom every day that we should be zeichet to do His will today, and anything in the past that we've sullied by not doing His will, may we be zeichet to have a tikkun, and anything we have, we should fix up any damage we have done to both body and soul, we should be zeichet to fix up today to be ready for the recall, for the call up any second. So therefore he says that's the Chavos Levavos is saying, that if you want to do tshuva, you have to remember the day of death is any moment. You have to chaparayim. Everybody, so everyone has great regrets, everyone's eating themselves up. The stock market went up last week so many hundreds of points, and they didn't jump into the market. Where was I? Just the stock market finally goes up 500 points. Where was I? Well, wasted the opportunity. And they're kicking themselves in the pants, and their wallets, and the checkbooks. Why didn't I jump in while there was still time? The rally is over. It's too late. Well, we'll be really kicking ourselves when we get called back to the Rabbeinu Shlom. He says, so you're right, the rally is over. Time, no more money, give it all back to me. Give me your body, give me your soul. Let's see what he did with it. No more time to invest. You're back home, it's over. We'll feel very foolish that we wasted the opportunity to do more Torah, more mitzvahs, and not to sully ourselves with the virus poo-pooing all the little affairs we did. Nah, this gefährlich. That wasn't so bad. This wasn't so bad. This wasn't so bad. That wasn't so bad. Before you know it, we have shredded our bodies and souls to rags, shmatas. We made scraps out of ourselves, a bunch of hobos. So we're walking around with fancy clothing, but we really check for shotness. Well, shotness, you know, they don't make shotness anymore. It's not in style anymore, shotness. No more shotness. I don't bother checking for shotness, rabbi. It's not that important, you know. It's not all that important. Sneas clothing. Well, they don't go to sneas. I'm not mocking my wife either. She has big slits, terrible slits. Other men look at her. She's machshel herself, machshel other men. What's the difference? So, you know, these things are not that important, rabbi. Look, I had a big tzedakah function in my house. My wife is prancing around with her slits. So, it's mamash death mitzvah of aveir. So as she was doing a mitzvah, having the tzedakah function, at the very same moment she was ripping apart, she got up more aveirs than mitzvahs. But we don't have the cheshbon, we're stupid people, you know, so we're like idiots, you know. So, it's like people who, make a lot of money and, they invest in a scam. So they're proud of themselves, they made $1 million, and they just put the money into some fake bank. So it's real smart, they put it in some offshore bank, which is really a scam, and all the money they earned, they threw in the garbage. Because when they come to pick up their money, it's not going to be there. Invest money in a tzedakah event, but this is not right, and that's not right, and there's no tznius, and then when they're together, who knows what kind of things are not beseder. The whole thing is down the drain. It's like pouring expensive wine into a cup, which is cracked, it's all going to leak out. No one thinks straight. The day will come when every single action, everything will be judged. It's evaluated right now. We'll see the printout, we'll see the evaluation, and we know that our life is one series of constant contradictions because we're too lazy, we're too cowardly to face the truth and make up our mind once and for all. We've got to be consistent. There's only so much time. We've got to be clean, clean, clean. It's got to be clean, it's got to be consistent, it's got to be ausgehalten, it's got to be with integrity. I can't cut corners here and then be real machmer over there. It doesn't work that way. So the kitzer, the day of death is coming, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to be knocking. Hayom kotzer, the day is short, melach merubi, we have a lot of work. Balabayas doichek, the Balabayas, no, the Balabayas saying, no, time's running out. So I hope to make matzah today. I left to Williamsburg. I'm looking for a minion, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Anybody know of a good minion, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock? Like, anybody knows a good minion here in town? For mincha, yeah. Vesna kosher, a quarter to 2. That's not my favorite place to daven. Basically, you can't say Kaddish over there. I don't like davening with the dead chickens in the back over there. Yeah, but they don't give you can't say Kaddish over there. Only one person say Kaddish. Whoever's there at 1 o'clock, let me know if it's true. Can everyone say Kaddish there? Only one person can say Kaddish at a time. You gotta find out the information. I need good information. An army is only as good as its intelligence. Good intelligence over here. I don't want flawed intelligence. Ira knows a couple of places. He's hoarding them for himself, though, those good places. What? 12:40, the kids over there, 12:40, yeah. Or for the boys, what? On Sunday only, 12:40. Okay, 12:40. Okay, that's not bad. That makes sense. Upstairs. Okay, at any rate. So, making matzahs, and... So you know it's gotta be done real fast. That's a good example of the Balabais Deichik, the man's watching Balabais. I'm going to a different place this year, but you see the Muncie Matzah Bakery, and the Balabais Mamish is there the whole day. He watches everything. It's very small, Muncie Matzah Bakery, which is in Monroe. And the Balabais, every detail, he's on top of everything. He only gives you so much water, so much flour, and so much matzah, and he gives it every way, weighs the amount of dough he gives everybody. He grabs enough, every girl should have enough to roll out and flatten out. And he knows exactly how much he wants to give because he knows exactly what he wants. And there's a clock and there's a buzz at the end. And when it gets close, they're running, they're going so fast, they're rushing. Because it's gotta be a certain amount of time. If it doesn't get the certain amount of time, it's over, you throw it in the garbage. It's gotta be done on time. When time is over, it's garbage. Time is over, time's up. No ifs, ands, buts, excuses, nothing. Garbage. That's it. You gotta do it in a certain amount of time. You don't get all these into the 18 minutes. You wasted your money, you wasted your time. Rabbanu Shalom has it all planned out for us. He's giving us exactly the amount of time we need to fulfill our destiny. He gives us the resources, gives us the dough, gives us the flour, gives us the water. You can be sure that as much dough as you got, that's how much you need. But Jonathan, you don't need any more dough. You don't have too much either. You don't have too little, you don't have too much. If you got it, that means the Balabayas apportions you this amount of dough, you better use it. If you don't use it, it's going to be chametz. When the clock rings, when the buzzer buzzes, it's chametz, and if you didn't spend it, use it for a mitzvah, it's wasted. Down the drain. Give it away now. Most chitim, anybody? I think I peel out of this, you know. Most chitim, most chitim, most chitim. Well, get your dough out, any spare dough. I'll be glad to relieve you of any spare dough. I believe most of you are ready, but there's always room for more. Okay. The kids, sir. The third thing you remember is that, again, we have such old debts to Hashem. So here we are thinking about the future. Actually, it's a wonderful day. We had to be alive. I definitely think we have to introduce a new custom here, that we got to do like breast lift after every davening, every day got to dance. Got to dance. So happy to be alive today. No, you want to dance? Got to be, is that, we're at sunny outside, some sun, Baruch Hashem. Snow is leaving, we have water, Baruch Hashem, no water shortages. I think we're going to hear some birds today. Mitzvah Hashem, the flowers will start blooming soon. The crocuses are coming. Baruch Hashem, where we have to be alive. We have 2 feet and 2 hands and 2 eyes and 2 ears, and we're alive, Baruch Hashem. And the voice is not what it should be, but okay. But that's all things considered. It's still great. We can learn Tyrus Hashem. No one's bothering us. No one's persecuting us. We can learn. Kedavin today. We have tefillin. We have everything in the world. It's Gan Eden, Mamish Gan Eden, and we're here to this chaperon more and more and more. We are so lucky. Are we lucky, Mamish? Ah. So we're definitely determined not to waste today. Today we're going to do for the Rebbeinu Shlom. Today is not, we're not going to sit back and lounge and read the New York Times. The whole war is just it's a plot from the Sutton. He has to listen to CNN all day. It's very important, because if you don't listen to CNN, we're not going to win the war. So he's convinced you that's your patriotic duty. Know every single shtus detail about every single hand grenade that was shot, and every weather report, and every cloud over Baghdad, and every sighting of Saddam Hussein. You got to know everything, because there's a war going on, Rabbi. There's a war. You got to know, we got to be informed. What are you being informed for? This is where the war is fought. The Chavos Lubavitch, our favorite Chavos Lubavitch, where the old rabbi meets the General Tommy Franks parading down Fifth Avenue, Broadway, going to his confetti ticker tape parade. Hey, Tommy, what are you doing? Rabbi, don't you know? We just came back from Iraq. We won the big war. That's no big war, Tommy. That was a skirmish. I mean, it's the biggest war in the history of mankind. Tommy, that was just a little skirmish. The big war, when you go back to everyday life, and you're fighting the Eight Sahara and the Sutton, that's the big war. What you're doing in Iraq over there, cruise missiles, tomahawks, guns, carriers, grenades, Apaches, Cobras, Sal's Gonish, that's kid stuff. That's baby stuff. That's nothing. The big war is the war you're going to fight today, whether you should lie or steal or cheat on your wife. Tommy, that's the big war. If you don't win that war, you're a loser. What, Rabbi, I'm a hero. They give me a ticker tape parade. Tommy, you're a loser. You're a loser. So, President Eisenhower, good old Dwight Ike, might have been the bazook. You know, other things about him. He might have flunked it, he might have won the war on D-Day, but who knows, he won all the wars. Big hits, the big war is the war of their own personal war of our personality. Our war against our meaner, coarser, lower, evil, dark side. Not the far side, but the dark side. That's our biggest war and our biggest enemy. And you can win every other war in the world, but you're a loser. I'm a loser. You're a loser. Says the Chavos Lubavitch. So you're going to win the war today. Even if you can do the right thing today. But think about all the days of our lives. How old are you? 40 years old? 30 years old? 50 years old? How many days did God give us sunshine and 2 hands and 2 feet and 2 eyes? And we betrayed Hashem with the very weapons he gave us. A big scandalous guy went to sergeant to, I don't listen to the radio, of course, Chas V'Shalom. I just pick these things up. Others listen. I just happen to pick up little scraps about the sergeant threw a grenade at his own man or something. A Muslim. Well, Hashem, at least there's a Muslim. Ah, I'm a chaya. Shoot all those Muslims, that's it. The kids, is a Muslim, really? Imamish betray Imamish, she did it with the kavana. Very dangerous, very scary. Fifth column. No, so the point is that we don't like him, he's bad. Oh, he is a traitor. Now, this guy is bad. This guy is bad, because he is a traitor. But the truth of the matter is, why? Because the United States Army fed him, clothed him, trained him, paid him, and he goes ahead and kills his own buddies. Oh, Mama's the guy's a traitor. This guy's the worst. He's the lowest of the low. Zogdol comes above us. We do it all the time. We're in the army of Hashem, and we're a fifth column. We're betraying the Rabbi Shalom. We're supposed to be in the Jewish army, and we're acting like Goyim. And we bring all the Goyish schmutz into our house. I bring the television into our house, and the internet, all the Goyish broadcast stuff. We have drops. We work for the enemy. We have counterintelligence. We bring all this stuff into the house. We're working for him. We're working for the enemy. We're working for Saddam. We're working for Russia. We are mamish double agents. We're double agents. We want to get paid by the Eight Sahara with his little pleasures. He panders to us. And we want to get paid from Hashem. We're mamish double agents. So just as reprehensible as this Muslim is who betrays his own country and bites the hand that fed him, murders his own comrades, we do the same thing all the time, says the Chavos above us. Hashem does good for us all the time. And, of course, we come to Dalek, put on a tefillin, maybe even Rabbi Thomas tefillin, I even put on the gartel, and we went to mikveh before davening. We're very religious, and we even come to the 8 o'clock meeting, which is real slow, we're real good, and then right after we finish here, we go out and have breakfast, and we probably forget half the brachas. We don't watch the things designed properly. Don't bench like a mensch, because I have to have one ear on the radio constantly throughout benching. If the radio's on in the kitchen, tell your wife, my dear wife, do me a favor, you please turn off the radio. No, she won't be offended. I have to bench. But the General Tommy Franks is speaking. It's President Bush. God, I'm speaking to God now. Please turn off the radio. Turn off that tape. I need kavana. I need kavana. I have to bench properly. Can't listen to it. Well, I can't listen to the radio with one ear and I talk to Hashem. That's talking out both sides of my mouth. So I'm a faker. So says the Chavos above us, we shouldn't forget our past. We all have very shadowy pasts. Very shady pasts. The Gemara says you shouldn't tell about tshuva. Remember your past. That's for other people. Other people shouldn't go about tshuva and say, I remember you when big tzaddik, you're wearing tefillin here today. I remember you in Las Vegas. I remember you in the good or the bad old days. Maybe the good old days. Ah, those are good old days. Ah, we don't do that anymore. But those are the fun days. Everybody has to remind themselves. You shouldn't remind somebody else. That's cruel. But a person should remind himself. And for Karet, the FFBs are in bigger trouble than the Bali Tshuva because they were hypocrites from day one. So they really got problems. So Zogdol Chavos Levavos, you've got to remember how many days we betrayed the Rabbi Nishlom. Hashem only does good for us, and we betrayed him. We betrayed the Rabbi Nishlom. Hashem made a bris with us. He says, you're good to me, I'll be good to you. And we betrayed our alliance, our holy pact with God. And he says, therefore, the fourth thing to remember before you do tshuva is, you have to make amends for all that. First, you have to remember it. And you have to make amends. And just in case that doesn't inspire you, says the Chavos above us, the fifth thing a person has to do is that we simply don't take God seriously enough. We have to eat in a liboy as gedulas habori is barach. You have to keep in mind the greatness of Hashem. Hashem is so great. And realize who Hashem is and what we are. We're nothing. We're mamash and nothing. We think we're everything, but we're nothing. And we're a speck in the universe, not even a speck. We're nothing. We're not even a speck. We don't count. We're zero. We're worthless. We're mamash nothing. We're not an amoeba. And the Rabbi Shalom is forever and ever and ever. And we are nothing. And how dare we go against the Ratzon Hashem? And who knows what kind of damage we caused in the whole Bria. And Kav Yochel, I was upset. The Rabbi Shalom is what Achil Hashem we made. Every Avei with Achil Hashem we made. And Achil Hashem doesn't mean you have to do it in front of the Goyim. If I'm supposed to be learning Torah and I come back to my wife in the morning, and I'm nasty to my wife, that's Achil Hashem. She says, that's what you learned in shul this morning, to be nasty to me, to be angry at me, to talk to me like I'm a shmata, that's a chilul Hashem. Talk to your children without respect, it's a chilul Hashem. That's what my father goes to shul for. That's what he goes to a shir for. That's what he learns the daf yomi. So he should talk to his kids like the garbage and push them around. It's a terrible thing, you know. I got trouble for the pros gedolos on Shmos. I hope they have Megillas Esther. I'm not sure if they have Megillas Esther in the back of this Pros gedolos. Thank you very much. I don't know if this is going to work. No. I need a Megillas Esther. I'm not on Megillas Esther here. A Megillas Esther maybe on top. Maybe there, but Tanakh on top. The Megillas Esther. Yeah, we can. Thank you. Shkoyach, no, that's not. I need a targum. Well, this there's no targum here. Still not going to work. This one doesn't come with. This is a targum shame. Not a targum rishon. Anyway, the targum is a gavalt. Oh, you know what? I could use an Ibn Ezra. That's what I could use. I really want an Ibn Ezra. No, that doesn't come with Ibn Ezra. There's no the good old fashioned McGraw's Gadol has come with Ibn Ezra. That's plain old Ibn Ezra. Anyway, Ibn Ezra says on the Pasuk, thank you for trying. We need to go upstairs. We have a McGraw's Gadol upstairs, the proper. So it says in the end of the Megillah that Mordechai, a Yehudi, the last words of the Megillah, we can still talk about the Megillah. The last words are, Mordechai Yehudi, Ratzel Roiv Echav, he was acceptable and beloved to most of his brethren. Says Ibn Ezra, of course not to all of them, because there's always jealous people who wouldn't forgive him his covet, so it's only Rov. Dairesh Tayv Lama, he was looking for the good of his people, which means, says Ibn Ezra, that most leaders, maybe, if the people make demands on them, then the leader will respond to do something good for them. But that the leader should go out looking for opportunities that are good for the people. He really cares about them. He's proactive to do things for the people. That's a very rare thing. That was Mordechai with Dairesh Tayv Lama. He's Dairesh. He's looking and searching for ways to do good for his people. V'dayver Shalom L'chol Zaro. And he speaks peacefully to all of his children. Zakta Ben Ezra, he says, most parents treat their kids like slaves. And they order them around, they push them around, they have no respect. And the gods of Mordechai was that you can't be a great leader out in the world unless you're a great leader in your own home. If you don't talk with respect to your wife and even your children, who are so easy to push around, if you're a tyrant to your children, you're really a tyrant to everybody else on the outside. But since he's such a faker, you make believe you're a nice guy on the outside. But you're no good. So the reason why Mordechai was Dairish Tav Le'amai, that he could be a good leader on the outside, because he was truly a good father and a good husband on the inside, and it was Dairish Shalom L'chol Zaro. I mean, it's not clear what that Mordechai had children. It says he had children, besides, we never heard of his children. But he says Mordechai spoke with peace, tranquility, love, and respect to his children, and therefore he was a truly great leader. Your public persona cannot be better than your private persona. If privately at home you have no respect, that means you're basically a person without respect. And Mamash, I just love watching parents. I just love it because I see it come back to them. I watch in shul sometimes the way a father treats his kids like garbage and comes back. I see it. I see the kids want to derek now. 5 years ago, I saw a father slap his son in the face. So I slapped his son in the most vicious way. And now he's off the derech. Drugs, everything. Mamish, right here. I saw it 7 years ago. I saw it a long time ago. He slapped the kid in such a vicious way. Another father I saw, his kid was singing next to Davin for some reason. I don't know what the kid did, like the kid was doing. So the kid had his hand like this. The father takes his, crashed his hand on the kid. I thought he was going to break his hand. And so now the kid is, I don't know, he's just not to say that. So you treat your kid like, you know, you crush his hand, you slap his face, you scream, you go crazy. So it's going to come back. It takes time. It's a temporary measure, maybe what you got your sleep. But it's going to come back. Anybody like that. Treat your wife like that, it'll come back. Treat your friend like that. Treat anybody. Treat your employees like that. Treat anybody like that. You have no respect for others. You get no respect from the Rebbeinu Shlomo, you have no self-respect at all, you're a lowly person. So you can have all the money in the world, and have all the fanciest things you want, but if you have no respect for others, Eizem, Mechubed, the Mechabed, the Zabriyas, the only honorable person The only person worthy of any honor is a person who gives honor to others. If you talk softly and humbly to other people, then you are truly a humble, fine, dignified, praiseworthy person. Otherwise, you can spend all the money in the world, make the biggest chasna and the fanciest bar mitzvah, have 13 videos and 14 smorgasbords, have the fanciest invitations, and you're a piece of garbage. Because the way you treat people, if you treat people like garbage, you are garbage. Period. Thus he does. So the Chavos Lavava says, so how can you even begin to have cover for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? No cover for Hashem's Brias. You have to have cover first. So what's the derech? How do you get cover for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? You have to have cover for Brias. Hashem is beyond us. If you start having cover for the human beings, which are B'Tselem Elokim, from that we can start to extrapolate a little bit how great Hashem must be. But if you don't even treat the people, you can see value in them, you don't see that value. And rather, because of your selfishness and your own, you're so into yourself that you just don't care about what other people. The main thing is, I got to have what I want, and I have to have it now. So if you have no cover for people, you have cover for the Boire. Before you have cover for the Boire, you have to have cover for the Brios, for the creations. Heck, you have cover. People, I can't believe it. Go around, I see cigarette butts in front of a shul. I see garbage in front of a shul. I see people leaving dirty tissues in front of the place in the shul. They have no cover for a shul. If you don't cover for the place where God resides, that means you have cover for God. So you have no shayach to tshuva. So you can clap al chet all you want, leave a mess behind. They have the davening. It's not a mensch. You have no shayach to God. If you're in God's house, you try to be in the living room, your wife would throw you out the window. You left a dirty tissue on the coffee table. She'd throw you right out the window. Left a cigarette butt on the floor in your living room. Throw you right out. But in shul people, not to people smoke here, but I see garbage. The thing everybody knows that I'm really the janitor of the shul. They just call me rabbi to make me feel good. I'm really the janitor in chief here. But you know, it's pasmanish. It wouldn't be nice for my wife and my mother wouldn't be proud of me if I was the janitor, so they give me a title of rabbi. But I'm really the truth is I'm really the self-appointed janitor. Because it drives me crazy when I see people leave a mess behind. How do you leave such a mess behind in the house of God? I mean, unbelievable. How do you do that? Stop menschlichkeit. The only way you can have covet, have a tshuva is we have to be overwhelmed by Hashem. And the way to be overwhelmed by Hashem is to look at people differently and look at the place of God differently. The house of God and the handiwork of God. People are God's handiwork. Our own children are handiwork. If we think that we're the balabatim over our children, you can treat them like garbage. But Shleisha Shutzim bought them. There are three partners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a senior partner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then father and mother. Father and mother are only junior partners. So you have the derech eretz to the children. But the parents are so crazy. They talk to the children. They deal with the children. And of course they stop them with a few dollars. I'm a great parent. Great parent. I give my parents, my kids, I take good care of them. I stop them with a few dollars. As a lady. Terrible. So Zok the Chavis Levavis, Yadav HaSogeh, you have to have one of your Shemayim. You have to master the greatness of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and greatness of everything they created in the world. Then you have a Shaychus to doing tshuva. That's the last klal, he says. The last rule. You want to do tshuva, you have to have a sense of how great and awesome Hashem is. What a schus we have to be His creations. What a schus we have to serve Him. Before we go into davening, sit down for a few minutes and think, wow, I can open my mouth to talk to the Melech Malchi Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People wait online when I think about it. So you know, on Shushan Purim, I saw the Skver Rebbe. Skver Rebbe is like a king over there in Skver. So I get the schus to hold his hand for a minute. We schmooze a little bit. I'm so excited. I got to speak to the Skver Rebbe. Okay, I love the Skver Rebbe. He's a wonderful man. But I should be 10 times, a million times more excited. I come to shul. I shake hands with their Rebbeinu Shel Olam every day. I spoke to Hashem. I just finished davening. I'm saying with the words of Hashem right now. You should see what went on in the square on Shushan Purim. It was unbelievable. A march with armies and drums and parades in front of the Rebbe, in front of the... It was unbelievable. Everyone, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable marches. It was really very exciting and electrifying the way they were marching. And in honor of the Rebbe, of Purim, of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But they all, you know, they had 50 in the light, dressed like soldiers. Precision marching, mamash gavaltik. But that's how, and it's beautiful, it's a kiddush, it was like a kiddush Hashem, that people went such effort to be exactly precise every step they took.
That's what it means to follow the Shulchan Aruch. The Baruch Hu has a Noah when we consider ourselves soldiers and we drill ourselves to precisely obey His will exactly down to the last mashu. We have a saga, the Baruch Hu is the Melech and He's the drill master, and every day when we daven, it's like we're passing in front of Him at the review stand. He's reviewing us and He's watching how we are marching and saluting Him and presenting the flag in Hashem's honor. When we have a saga of the godless Hashem, then we can do tshuva properly.